This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are pleased to welcome John McClain, who's covered the NFL for decades for the Houston Chronicle and also our Houston affiliate, Sports Radio 610. John, let's start with the latest news, which is there will be no preseason games. The NFL has conceded that to the players. At this point, what are the two sides working on?
They still have things to work out. The roster size is going to be 80. Amy, that means players are going to be cut across the league without ever even meeting the coach and general manager in person. They're going to flood the market. Hopefully, with the increase in practice squads, they'll be able to have some of these undrafted guys who never got a chance except virtually to at least make a practice squad. They got to work that out. They got to work out things like the opt-out clause, salary cap implications, what happens if games are canceled, what happens if the season's canceled, or if the season can't go on. But what they know is with BioReference Lab that they've hired, every team's paying like $2.4 million. You have a mobile unit in the parking lot. We have one here in Houston. Texans have it outside NRG Stadium where you walk in, you get the nasal swab, you get the results in 24 hours. So Texans and Chiefs rookies reported Monday. They're waiting to have a second day of test, and if they're negative, then they can have their physicals. Then they can finally go on the field. And one of the things to be determined, Amy, is the players don't want to put on pads for 31 days, and the owners want them to put on pads in 20 days. I don't know why it matters, because nobody hits anymore. They don't take people to the ground. And I'll say this about one preseason game. This sounds terrible, but I think they should have had a preseason game. I said, think they should have played the backups and then see how many of them test positive after they bleed on each other and sweat on each other. As it is now, we're going to have to find that out the hard way after the first game of the season. And we don't know if they're going to have one or two per team, 10 per team. And the most important thing, of course, Amy, it's not how many, it's who.
That's true, because we are going to end up having some cases. Though, honestly, John, if you look at the NBA, once they got inside their bubble, they've done very well. Major League Baseball teams, they've had a couple here or there, but they've managed to contain with the testing. So in terms of the health and safety protocols, have the two sides, the owners and the union, agreed on what that is going to look like all the way through?
They have everything down. Like, if you test positive and you're very sick, you're going to be quarantined and you could miss 2 weeks or more. There's a couple of Astros players who still have not reported. They're not saying what they have. Everybody assumes it's COVID-19 and they must be ill, because it's been 3 weeks now and nobody's heard from them. And in football, if you're asymptomatic, there's a plan for return that way. There's one where if you test positive but you're not very ill, there's another plan. You have to pass 2 tests in a row to be able to come back. It just depends on how many days you're going to be out and quarantined.
So, John, in terms of the preseason, you talk about no games and how the NFL has conceded that. But this idea that they want more of a ramp up, at least the players, because they've fear injuries and they fear that there could be, you know, more of that without the off-season conditioning. I've even heard something like there are a group of players who want the season to start in October. I mean, how confident do you think the league is that this thing is going to start on time?
I think it'll start on time because Roger Goodell and a lot of the influential owners and a lot of influential politicians want the NFL to start on time for a sense of normalcy. It's after that first round of games, then what happens? How many people test positive? It's easy to have a bubble in Orlando for the NBA because they have so few players and so few people working with the players compared to the NFL. But the NFL players will go home. You hope that they will do what they're supposed to do. But as we've seen so many times in the offseason in Tampa and with other teams, even though they were told stay away from each other, they defied the Players Association in the league, and I'm very interested to see how many, if any, of these players who've stayed together are going to test positive, and or how many Tom Brady and all those guys from the Buccaneers who continue to work out, hopefully they will not test positive, but if they do, they'll have nobody blaming themselves. And so I think we have to wait and see. The thing about having nothing but strength and conditioning and maybe 8 days of pads, undrafted free agents, it's going to be the worst time in history for them. There are a lot of great players who were undrafted free agents who now won't make a team, may not have another chance till next year unless they're on a practice squad. But how do you impress somebody if you've only done sat there in meetings and asked questions and running around in your underwear and T-shirt only impresses people at the combine?
For sure. It definitely is a year in which a lot of athletes who are hoping to see their dreams come true aren't going to have that opportunity. John McClain has covered the NFL for the Houston Chronicle for, well, nearly a half century. He's closing in on that. And he can also be heard on our Houston affiliate, Sports Radio 610. That just means you have tons of wisdom and experience, John. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. When the athletes got together, I guess it was over the weekend, and they had a bit of a social media push. They used the hashtag We Want to Play, but they kind of had the same message. What were they asking of the NFL?
First of all, I think, you know, the NFL doesn't care about what players tweet about wanting to play. That had nothing to do with them giving in on the preseason. The NFL negotiators know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to give the players a lot of things they want, and then they're going to say, but, oh, yeah, we need you to take this kind of pay cut, or we need you to suffer salary cap-wise over the next couple of years, but we'll give you all that conditioning time. We make it where you don't have to have pads very much, and they'll act like they're, you know, cutting off an arm and giving it to the players when the fact is they know what they're doing. I think what the players did, J.J. Watt, Sean Watson, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Stephon Diggs, there were a lot of players with the hashtag We Want to Play, and it made a big deal with the fans and the media. And some thought it had something to do with the owners giving in on the preseason games. Well, that's a bunch of BS. They don't listen to the players like that. They've got a plan, and they've waited till the last minute, and then they start to offer some concessions when they've known all along what they're going to do. And so I think the key now is we're not going to know how many players are going to test positive, at what level will they test positive, and how quick they'll come back until they actually do it. So I'm guessing next week, Amy, we'll see every team with players out on the field in shorts and the T-shirts doing conditioning. Amy, we're not going to know for sure how many players test positive for COVID-19, the seriousness of which those tests are, how long they're going to be out, unless they do it. They just need to go out there and see, and that's why I believe next week you'll have players across the league running around in their shorts and their T-shirts, seeing how good of condition they in, and hopefully there won't be too many test positive and they can move on.
Have you heard of any players yet who have chosen to opt out, considering they do have that alternative?
Well, they're not exactly sure what they're going to offer them. And then the owner's original proposal that the players had to let them know by August the 1st is preposterous. You don't even know if all the details are going to be worked out. It's ridiculous to have a player say on August 1st he wants to opt out, and then you don't hear from him until next year. What if there's a vaccination on November the 15th and the player could come back and play down the stretch and in the playoffs and the Super Bowl? So I'm guessing that's negotiable. I think a player who opts out should have the option to come back and he's taking a payout of $150,000 and pay it back if he wants to. But I just don't think there should be a hard deadline. If there is, it ought to be more like September the 1st. But I don't think we're going to have many. As you know, the careers are shorter. The money's less. There's less guaranteed money. I think players are willing to take the risk to try to earn some money while they can.
J.J. Watt has been pretty vocal over the last month, even indicating in a couple of interviews that he wouldn't play if they were going to require a face mask. We know the NFL has rolled out this Oakley mouth guard and is trying to come up with different pieces of equipment that might help. But your reaction to J.J.'s leadership and as vocal as he's been?
He's been that way, but I don't think for a second he would not play if they made shields mandatory. When you think how much money he's making paid over 17 weeks, even if it's at a prorated portion, you think face shield, bank account, face shield. Yeah, give me the face shield. Of course he would play.
He obviously is anxious to get back on the field. It's hard to know exactly how well these guys have been able to condition over the course of the summer. But from what you can tell, I mean, is that going to be a huge challenge, John?
Would you rather guys come in and they've spent the off-season program learning the system? A lot of cases, you have new coordinators, new terminology, new head coaches. Carolina, to me, is in the most difficult situation with a new head coach. Matt Rhule has 1 year of NFL assistant coaching experience, two coordinators who've never been NFL coordinators, and a new quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. So they needed to spend all that time working on the mental part. But, you know, Amy, players work out on their own, but you still got to get in football shape, and that's usually by playing football. They're not going to do it in the preseason. So I think it's important if they do have conditioning, because during the lockout in 2011, they kept statistics about how many more injuries there were after the players had spent the offseason working out on their own when they couldn't have contact with coaches and they had more injuries. So the idea is to do whatever you think it takes to reduce the injuries. But it's going to be strange, Amy. You're going to have players with all the normal injuries, concussions, hamstrings, calves, knees, and now you got to worry about COVID-19. It's going to be intriguing at the end of the year to see how many players actually were on a roster. It might be 100 players per team based on what we think could happen.
The quality of the football to start then might not be so pretty. Is that what you're saying?
Especially on defense when they haven't hit anybody and they haven't tackled, and it's terrible for rookies. I've talked to a bunch of former Houston Oilers, Houston Texans, and I said, what would it have been like your rookie year if you did not have the benefit of on-field coaching or work, but your rookie year? And I had words like tragic, disastrous, you know, untenable, things like that. So I think a lot of rookies are going to get off to slower starts, because they still need to get on the field to see if they can take what they learned in the classroom out there and put it to use. I think we see a lot of rookies playing better over the second half of the season. Now, if Joe Burrow goes out there for Cincinnati and lights it up, why do we need training camp and preseason other than conditioning in the future?
In the middle of talking to John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, who's also a frequent guest on our Houston affiliate, Sports Radio 610. And John, before we talk about the Texans specifically, I want to ask about you. You've been covering the NFL and the Texans for a long time. As a member of the media who needs access to do your job, what does all of this coronavirus, this pandemic, this testing mean for you?
Well, first of all, this is my 44th year covering the NFL, and every year at this time I feel like a rookie again. I get excited about it. Now, because this is unprecedented, we hope we never have to experience this again.
Yes.
I'm excited to see how it works out. Like, I'm really pumped about a 60-game baseball season, a sprint, and not a marathon. So, and to see the NBA, how the NBA does in a bubble, and that just fascinates me, how they're going to pull that off with all those games and no fans and piped in crowd noise. But the thing I'm most excited about, there's 10 people per team who we will get tested, and we'll go to practice, and then we can go into the facility. In the case of the Texans, we're going up the press box after practice so we can write, but we'll do no interviews in person. It'll all be done on Zoom. And if a crew from the NFL Network comes in and there's 9 of them, the 9 of us are going to be kicked out. Only one's going to stay. And I hope they base it on seniority.
Yes, tenure, how long you've been around. That's great.
Yes. Those press boxes are all the way at the top of the stadium in most stadiums.
Right.
Like in Houston, like in Kansas City, where the Texans open on September 10th against the Chiefs. And I'm so high up. I have binoculars, so I watch it play, but mainly I watch the scoreboard and the TV. Now, the first game, we're going to need to be there because there's going to be protests. There's going to be an empty stadium. Just the atmosphere is going to be fascinating for everyone. But then all our interviews will be by Zoom. We're not even going to get close to the dressing room. So I don't know, eventually they'll say, okay, just cover it off TV and do your Zoom afterward. But I think it's still going to be very interesting to cover games in empty stadiums way up there at the top. And even though Arrowhead has a huge stadium, there's going to be a lot of normal people who get credentials who will not be able to be there if the rest of us are 6 feet apart.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. And I agree with you. I'm anxious to see what it looks like and hear how it sounds. To know that, this will be something we may never again see in our lifetimes. All right, so you mentioned the season opener, John, and I was looking at the Texans' schedule. 5 of their first 7 games are against playoff teams from a year ago. That includes the Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs, but they have the Ravens right away then 10 days later. In this stretch where they're going to have no preseason games, but they'll have to go right into football, what are the major question marks for this team?
First of all, you got Deshaun Watson, and I believe after watching Watson every play, almost every practice, I believe as long as he's healthy, the Texans are capable of beating anybody anywhere. They were capable of beating Kansas City last year, and then they choked a 24-0 lead, but he did help them get that lead, and then everything fell apart. And they play at Kansas City, then they play here against Baltimore. They go to Pittsburgh, they get Minnesota. I've got them starting 1-4, getting on a roll and finishing 10-6. And that'd be the second year they've done that. They have a lot of talent wide receiver, despite trading DeAndre Hopkins, but all their receivers have had injury issues. They've got talent in the backfield. Everybody's down on David Johnson from Arizona 2 years ago. He had almost 1,400 yards rushing, receiving, and 10 touchdowns. That's what they need from him. But their question is, can J.J. Watt stay healthy? Can they get a better pass rush out of their front 7 to cover up for some holes in the secondary? So I suspect the Texans will play a lot of high-scoring games.
All right, John, before I let you go, who had the more tumultuous offseason? You mentioned the 24-0 blown lead against the Chiefs, the eventual Super Bowl champs, or was it the Astros, considering how they lost the World Series and then everything that happened with the commissioner's report on 2017?
Well, the Astros, that was... unprecedented. They're the first team in history to lose 4 World Series games at home. They were playing the last game at home. They should have won, and the Nationals beat them, and then they had the scandal. Now everybody acts like they cheated every year. They won a record 107 games, and they're built for a 60-game schedule with old pitching staff, an old top 2 starters, Verlander and Greinke. So the Astros are good. They should be in it again. But, man, oh, man, if you look around for anything positive from the coronavirus, it would have to be the Astros don't have to go on the road and play before sellout crowds just – booing the heck out of them, unless teams want to pipe in booing crowd noise.
I guess they do have that option, considering they're using the video game audio. Oh my gosh, why is there never a dull moment in Houston sports, John, ever?
It just seems like we've always had a lot of controversy, but I'll say this. The Astros, despite the scandal, won 107 games. Texans won the division for the 4th time in 5 years, got to the divisional round of the playoffs. The Rockets with James Harden and Russell Westbrook are exciting, and they have a winning record. Maybe in a short, really short season in playoffs, they'll be able to make some magic. So there's always controversy, but right now it's good controversy and not bad, because I've seen it when all those teams were terrible, and right now they're pretty good, Amy.
That's right. Some good drama, which we love. Can't not wait. You can find John on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. But when it comes to Houston sports, he's our favorite. Thanks, as always, for a couple of minutes, and we will talk to you again very soon.
Amy, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much. Stay safe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.